Thank you for listening to Baltimore Internet Radio. This is Stephanie Given, Urban Mom. My guest today is a man that I respect immensely. He is the principal of my children's school, Wolf Street Academy. He's 44 years old, younger than I am. I'm older than my kid's principal. But I'd like to introduce Mr. Mark Gaither. Mr. Gaither, thank you for being here.
Good afternoon.
In your own words, can you give us a short bio of who Mark Gaither is?
You were close. It's actually 45 years. I was the one that was confused for a few months that I was still 44. But no, I'm 45 years old. Excuse me,
still younger than the 47-year-old sitting across from you.
When folks ask me where I'm from, the closest description can be from the west side of Baltimore. Came here when I was in the third grade from Pennsylvania with my brother and parents, and am a product of Baltimore City Public Schools, Thomas Jefferson, West Baltimore Middle, and City College. Let's see, the bio, I guess I'm in my 24th year as an educator.
We're going to get to I want all the dirt
okay,
on that.
Okay.
Family?
Family, two kids, live here in Baltimore.
How long have you been at Wolf Street?
I'm in my ninth year now.
Oh, that's a long time in one little school.
It is. It's the longest I've ever held one job.
Does that happen with educators? Do they jump?
It's very different among various folks. I mean, I certainly jumped around, but largely just to live in different places and do different things. You talk to a lot of folks in the city schools, and they've been here for 18, 19, 20, 30 years kind of in one place.
Which is a good thing or not so much?
It is neither good nor bad. It's all the details of what makes it good or bad.
So. Well, I often threaten, you know, that if Mr. Gaither leaves Wolf Street, I'm leaving. However, my oldest is in fifth grade, so she's leaving anyway. But
so now it's going to be that I'm going to leave when you leave.
All right, that's a deal.
Just kidding.
No, yes, and Baltimore City needs Wolf Street Academy for sure. Okay, so how did you know education was your calling, or was it?
When I was graduating from college, I looked around for all types of different jobs, and I'm also an artist, a sculptor, and I was looking at museum work, and I was looking about working for an anti-drug group, standing out on corners in the middle of the night, trying to keep drug dealers away.
And I do that.
and then when I took a step back and looked at everything I was looking at, it all had to do with kids. And I hadn't directly considered education. And when I took this sort of reflective look, I decided maybe education was something to look at. And I was accepted into the first class of Teach for America applicants assigned to a third grade bilingual class in L.A., had recently thought that I had met the love of my life in Pennsylvania, and so declined the invitation to be part of Teach for America and stayed in Pennsylvania and worked as an assistant teacher for a number of years.
I know a secret about you. I know that your father was the superintendent of schools. I know your brother is also a principal of a Baltimore City public school. So there was no pressure from them? I mean,
no. The nice thing about my family, and I was actually getting into the education gig before my brother did. He came along as a little bit of a late bloomer.
Is he older or younger?
He is older, 20-some months. My family has been very supportive of, you know, whatever I've wanted to do, both helping me go back to art school part-time many, many years ago, explore that. And in all of my jobs as an educator. But it is a little bit in the blood. My mom also taught in New Jersey when my father was going to school in New York. And so pretty much every member of the family has been in the educational racket.
Which is certainly a noble profession. So did your mom stop working to stay home and raise her two little boys?
We came along not too long after. It was just the two of them then, relocated to Philadelphia. And my father was going to law school, and my mom taught and then raised us. And
So your father has a law degree on top of everything else?
He's got a divinity degree, a law degree, and has been superintendent of Maryland State Schools and Philadelphia City Schools.
That's incredible. That's pretty impressive. Now, I just want to touch back for a second. You were talking about being an artist, and I have seen Mr. Gaither has made some beautiful cakes for, I do a bingo fundraiser. And he really, one cake was actually the Capitol building because we were giving away a visit to the Capitol building. And it really was beautiful. But what I love about Mr. Gaither, and obviously this is why, that he's an artist, but his car is decorated like a hippie. He's got bumper stickers from pretty much the backseat all the way around the car. And I giggle every time I look at it. My kids think it's pretty funny.
Everybody knows where I am.
Where you're parked. That is for sure. You said you were educated in the city, and that was public education.
Public education.
And your brother as well?
Yep.
Yeah.
Both graduates of Baltimore City College.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
Elementary was Thomas Jefferson over on the west side. Then West Baltimore Middle School, which was the first year that city schools had middle schools versus junior high schools. And then we went to, the full name was the new Baltimore City College High School. It's the castle on the hill over on 33rd Street.
That was a neighborhood.
Where Memorial Stadium used to be.
Okay, and so you said you have two children, and my kids are at Wolf Street Academy, which is pre-K through 5.
Yep.
Did your kids go to public
school? We use the public school in our neighborhood, Roland Park Elementary.
I think the mayor's daughter goes there, doesn't she?
I think she's at Mount Washington.
Oh, Mount Washington. Yes, that's what I'm thinking of. You're right. Not that would make it a better school or not, just saying.
But it's a very nice neighborhood school. Our kids would walk to school and... friends everywhere. And
right. Yeah. Very much like this neighborhood.
Yeah.
I know. And you walk to work every day after you park your car and you see the families crossing the street and all that stuff. So tell me the evolution of Mr. Gaither from educator to administrator. Like, when did you teach? Were you ever in the classroom? How'd that go?
I was in the classroom for 15 years. And then I became what up in Providence, Rhode Island is called.
Oh, giving my props to my hometown.
Oh, yes,
thank you.
Yes. A daughter of that town, right?
That's true.
I was what was called a literacy coach, which was basically a quasi-administrative position that helped, was embedded professional development for teachers. And so I would go in and help teachers be better teachers. And I've had 7 different jobs in 5 different states, like I said. No one job for too long. So I've seen a lot of different things. And at that point, I decided I wanted to make the jump to administration so I could, instead of influencing one classroom here, one classroom there, really focus on a whole school package.
And do you have to go back to school for that? I don't really know what that means.
Yeah, I had to move from having a teaching certificate in elementary education to some type of administrative school leadership certificate. And in Rhode Island, at the University of Rhode Island, they partnered with the city schools in Providence for a sort of a Growing Great Leaders program. It was called Aspiring Principals. And it gave us real hands-on cohort work in schools, learning how to be good school leaders.
And so did you teach in any of those schools in Providence, or did you intern, I guess, would have been, because you were beyond teaching?
In Providence, I was the literacy coach and then interning as an aspiring principal.
So I like to liken Providence to Baltimore. I mean, I feel like a city is a city, and mm-hmm. I think you probably got some good background training mm-hmm. in Providence.
No, there were a lot of similarities, and even to the types of programs, Baltimore City Schools now runs, theirs is actually called, that's why it popped into my head, Growing Great Leaders, internal leadership development program to bring teachers and others to the principal positions.
Oh, great. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about my favorite thing, your current work, which is you are the principal of a public charter community school.
Yep.
So I'd like you to explain to us a little bit about what is the charter school, what is the community school.
Well, there's been a school on this site at South Wolf and Gough Streets in Upper Fells Point since 1852.
Wow.
And there have been 3 buildings. We are in the 3rd building right now. And it's been public school 23 the entire time. Still is public school 23, but in 2007, we converted what was then General Wolf Elementary School into Wolf Street Academy. And thus we're a conversion charter school.
Oh, see? So we even have another thing.
We even have another C. If you put it all together, it's this, you know.
Big long time.
What that basically means is that we asked for both the permission and the responsibility from the district to run certain things on our own. Biggest among them are budget, curricular, and some staffing processes. All of our teachers are still part of the Baltimore Teachers Union. We get to pick our curriculum that we want to use with our kids. And the budget is basically turned over to us as a lump sum that then we're able to spend as we see fit.
Hiring ladies in the cafeteria and such.
And such.
Yes.
And that just allows us the kind of freedom that we felt we needed in order to do the things that we knew were going to work. The moment when we really realized that we needed to go and get charter status to become a charter school was when the district wanted to change our curriculum after a year of great success. And, you know, not for trivial reasons, but, you know, when you're running 200 plus schools, you need certain scales of efficiency to make things work. Yet we had found great success with the curriculum we were using. And lots of charter schools have themes. For example, not to mention competitors, but there's the Green School. They approach education through environmental sciences and studies. People ask me, so Mark, what's your theme going to be for your charter school? And I had never really thought about it. And I sort of looked at the Muscants and said, you know, well, I guess our theme is just really, really, really good education. because we were just trying to keep doing what we knew was going to work for our kids. And over the past 7 years, going on 8 years now, we've found success every year.
And that's our charter.
Yep.
And so I know there was a big push for community schools in the city, not just with Wolf Street, but
exactly.
Tell us what that is.
About a year before we went charter, we became what's officially known as a community school. And basically, it's not a program, it's a strategy that helps empower families with the skills and know-how and resources to overcome the non-academic issues that face families and kids and neighborhoods. For example, health. We have, as part of our community school effort, a focus on our relationship with the University of Maryland Dental School. They come and they evaluate all of our kids each year for dental issues. And then they help address those issues moving forward. If a kid's teeth hurt, they're not going to sleep as well at night. They're going to wake up in the morning and not want to come to school. They're going to arrive at school and not be able to focus on what they're supposed to be focusing on. And to say that a situation like that is a level playing field with a school where all the kids have great health insurance and are going every year and brushing their teeth, it just isn't the level playing field that people sort of hope it is. And so what we try to do is level that playing field through the community school effort, a series of partnerships and ways of garnering resources for our families that are out there but are hard to connect up to.
It just touched on the thing I was curious about, the impact. I know I can see the impact in the Wolf Street Academy community, but in the neighborhood as a whole, I see, you know, our neighborhood association, Upper Fells, is hugely involved with us. That's a very small part of the community school, but, you know, kids with glasses, kids who need glasses.
Yep.
And so I think it enriches the neighborhood a little bit. Do you
Absolutely.
Agree? I mean, I feel
Absolutely.
Like when you see happy families out there, you've...
I mean, what the foundation of it is really a developing trusting relationships so that the school becomes seen as a resource to the neighborhood. It's a resource both to the folks who might need dental care, or this Wednesday we're giving away bags of food from the Maryland Food Bank to address food scarcity issues. It's a resource for them, but it's also the place where folks can come if neighbors need some assistance in, you know, maybe working out problems between two neighbors, or an issue if a group of kids is hanging out on a corner, as sometimes kids will do.
Mine included lately.
Yeah. Being able to talk with folks about that through these trusting relationships.
Now, I have to say, I remember somebody come into the door, and he was not in his right mind, but I perceived him as somebody who needed food. And this was probably 3 years ago, and Connie said, well, just go in the cupboard and go get him some food, which right. I was really, that didn't happen at my school, certainly in little old Narragansett, Rhode Island, but
right.
It's a nice outreach.
And what that really does is create, you know, we like to say, you know, strong families, healthy neighborhoods, right. vibrant city. That this is a way to address the individual needs of every neighborhood, because there's a school in every neighborhood across the city, address the specific needs of that neighborhood so that that neighborhood can be the best that it can be. For example, fewer parents calling out sick because their kids are sick, because we provide good services at the school, means our workforce in Baltimore is more prepared and ready to go to work every day. So it really is a ripple effect that happens across the citizens of
Boston. It must feel good to be a part of that, to help
absolutely.
Facilitate that.
Absolutely.
So that brings me to this, because I think our school is terrific. But what would the public school look like to you if you could dream it in 5 years? Yeah. And then we'll get to what Wolf Street... Yeah, nice. We'll get to what Wolf Street would look like, but
sure.
just generally what...
In generally, public education, I guess, and this probably goes back to some of my upbringing in my own family, but I very much see public education as essential. There is no replacement. The charter schools, while they're nice little ideas here and there, it needs to be replicable so that it can happen anywhere, because you have to develop the public education system. What I would hope for primarily is that it would be as crazy to say, oh, let's open up a school without a community school site coordinator, as it would be to say, let's open up a school without a principal. Just the sense of...
Well, explain that, though,
sure.
Because I know what that means, but I don't know if everybody knows who Connie
Thank you.
Is.
Connie Phelps is our community school site coordinator. And basically, I mentioned that community schools is a strategy. It basically provides a person to the community through the school that will identify needs and then hook them up with resources. So just as a principal does that academically, and many, many, many principals and educators all around try to do it in all the social emotional ways, a community school site coordinator is focused on those social emotional health, well-being needs of families and the community. And what it allows you to do is take individual well-meaning intent and turn it into systemic change so that you're not just feeding one family with an extra bag of groceries from the corner store out of the custodian's pocket, you're feeding 200 families with two bags of complete nutritious food. And so what I would hope is that we see the power of this and that we're able to have that strategy in every school. And not to the point where you have to argue about who's going to pay for it. Is it going to be the city? Is it going to be the school district? Is it going to be private foundations? But where it's just common sense that having somebody who is able to take care of these needs, connect up the people to the services for again, healthy kids, strong schools, and vibrant
neighborhoods. I love that slogan. I've never heard that before.
That is what my hope would be for the future. We're coming up in 2014 with a reauthorization of a funding stream in Annapolis, Thornton, it's the Thornton bill or
right.
funding for schools. And really hoping that this strategy, the community school strategy, which is recognized in Chicago and Cincinnati and Milwaukee and New York as top flight strategy to approach the issues that ail cities, that the Thornton funding might be the way to really making this a reality in Baltimore, where all 200 schools have a Connie Phelps who is able to address these needs. And then 10,000 families might come to the city.
Right. Absolutely. Education is a big part
yeah.
of why people
yeah.
flee. Some of us, I don't know that a lot of us come here for the education.
Mm-hmm.
No offense
no,
to you,
No, none
sir.
Taken, none taken.
But I'm happy to stay here right now with
right.
the level of education my kids are getting. If you could dream it, I'm guessing that every school in the city would be a community school.
Yep.
Explain to me, and I'm imagining it like this. So Johns Hopkins sends us tutors.
Hopkins, we have relationship, provides about 40 tutors, one-on-one tutors to the
and
school.
And both of these institutions are large enough where they could facilitate every sure. other school in the well, city. I mean,
and there's I mean, even though it's not physically in the city, you know, Towson or Goucher
okay.
or you know, Hopkins and University of Maryland could do other schools.
We want the big brains. I mean, we want Hopkins and UMD. I mean,
well, when you look at, you know, Morgan State, when you look at Baltimore, there are institutions and resources across the board. And not it wouldn't be just and we haven't experienced it with the University of Maryland. It wouldn't be a one-way service. For example, School of Social Work, University of Maryland School of Social Work, is one of our key partners. And in fact, our site coordinator is actually employed by the University of Maryland School of Social Work. And we provide a location for 3 to 4, 1 year we had 5 interns, so that as the school is looking to place their social work interns, they have a location where they know is doing good work, is doing the kind of work that they want their interns to experience, and where they can get good supervision under Connie Phelps.
And learn to be community school site coordinators.
And learn to be community school site coordinators, or whatever else it is.
Right.
And so, you know, those relationships are very much two-way, drawing on the strengths that each institution, Wolf and University of Maryland in that example, have to offer. And so it's that connecting up and helping people see the advantages that both they can give and that they can receive from those types of relationships.
Now, when this whole community school, you know, I know your father had a huge part in the effort of raising awareness of community schools, and I really didn't know what it was all about. I know those services were being provided at my children's school, but I didn't really know what the title of it was and what it actually mm-hmm, was. Mm-hmm. So I, too, if it makes you feel good, I, too, support the community school effort.
Well, Advancing Community Schools in Baltimore, .org, I spell it all out, is the organization. My father now at 70, ooh, he's going to kill
yeah,
me.
Yeah, just 70, say 70.
70-ish.
That's good.
71, I'm pretty sure.
You better hope he's not in his 60s.
I know he's not in his 60s.
Right.
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt.
All right,
on the
very 71. Good. 71-year-old Mr. Hornbeck.
He this year became an Open Society fellow, which meant that he was given a grant to set up and run this Advancing Community Schools in Baltimore to try to really develop advocacy for the effort. And it's largely because of him hearing things from Wolf Street and what was happening at Wolf Street, and being a caring educator that I don't think will ever retire.
Apparently not.
Yeah, jumped into the fray and is now working with Family League and the school district and the whole sort of all of the players to try to capitalize on the moment and make more schools community schools.
So I have to laugh at you because you're like, well, you know, my parents let me make my own choice. I was kind of an artist, but clearly it is in your blood. If your father at 71 years old is still fighting the educational battle for us moms.
My mom through this also has started to volunteer at the school, helping us out with newsletters and
she's working behind the scenes at Wolf.
So it's nice. It's a family affair.
And what a good family it is. I'm happy to have them.
It is.
So just let's touch one more point that's weighing on me is I read a memo about the renewal of our charter.
Yes, yes.
And I say it all the time on my radio, on Urban Mom, I really love my Wolf Street. So I want to ensure that you have the power I want you to have.
Sure. So according to Maryland law, charter schools are up for review periodically by the local organization. For us, the school district, the authorizing unit. And so we are coming up on our 5-year renewal. We've had 2 charters so far in the past 8 years. One was for 3 years. It was an initial charter. They looked at us at the end of those 3 years and said, good work. Keep it up. You can have another 5. And so we got those 5 years. And now we're going for our next renewal.
Another 5 years?
Hopefully another 5 years. If we show well, which I think we will, we could get a maximum of 5 years, truly a minimum of none, and they could say, you haven't cut it and we're closing you down. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, you don't mean close it down. They would just take away the charter.
They would take away the charter.
And we would be General Wolf Elementary
again. I would argue to keep the name, but they would absorb the school back into the traditional system. But I'm hoping, because for the past 2 years, the average Wolf Street student has outperformed the average Baltimore City and Maryland State student. So a school made up of 97% of folks who receive free and reduced meals and 76% who don't speak English in the home is outperforming the average Maryland student. And also to note that the Maryland School District is 5 years now rated number one in the nation. So
that's can I see that in writing? I'm just kidding. But.
Maryland School Improvement.org.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's
go.
It.
Where you are a man full of websites.
but we've had great success, and everything needs a slogan these days. Another one of our slogans for Wolf, particularly, is great people, great programs, great strategies. We bring the key to Wolf, and I think the key to anything is having great people. People right. with what we say is intelligence and integrity. They're smart enough and they're never going to give up. And great programs in education in general, across the nation, across the world, we know what works. It's just whether you have the will to see it through.
Right.
And great strategies is our community school approach, where it isn't just about reading and math. Reading and math are the tools by which we discover science and art and music and how to make good decisions and how to interact with each other, all of those things. And the community school effort is part of that. Trust is a huge part of that, and that's where the community school side is.
Do we have to do anything to help ensure our charter, or you think it's our test scores coming up or test scores we've already taken?
Both.
Okay, so our past test scores are great.
Past test scores are going to show great. Hopefully the upcoming test scores will show great.
Now, speaking of slogans, Mr. Gaither has another slogan, show what you know. So whenever we're going through statewide testing or whatever testing, he's, hammering the kids at morning meeting.
For about the past 7 years, every tested grade level, every student in the tested grade levels of third, fourth, and fifth, have shown up on the test day for 100% attendance. I mean, that's pretty astounding that we've been able to do that. And it's all about the dedication that the kids have and that the parents have to showing what they know.
You brought up a point about our school being predominantly Spanish-speaking at home. And I have to say, the community as a whole has such reverence for you especially. Yeah. But also the teachers. I mean, they don't, their kids, if they're in trouble, the moms are mad. You know,
right.
How could you disrespect a teacher? So there is that, which I'm sure gives you a lot of sense of success.
And that, Connie Phelps, the site coordinator again, has developed a great wealth of trust and admiration between the school and the families. So
see it grow, but I love the reverence that they give, that your college professors.
Most of the time.
Yes, most of the time. There are a couple of parents, and we both know who.
No.
They're all wonderful. Especially Lucia's mother, Gianna. She's awesome.
Happy birthday to Lucia
Thank you. That's very nice. My oldest turns 11 today. Oh, my God. So I told somebody that, and they said, Miss Stephanie, that means you're really old, which is sad but true, older than my principal even. Okay, so we were going to be good with the charter. If there's anything the community can do, obviously let us know.
And as we move into the process, there will probably be board meetings and whatnot that Upper Fells Improvement Association, I always represent as the number one friend of Wolf Street Academy, and they've been there from day one helping us identify how they can help, and they've been there helping us in board meetings, at rallies, across the board. So
excellent. That's a fantastic group. Okay, so now I'm going in for the dirt. We've talked about all the official stuff. Now we're going to talk about what I want to know. So I know that you have a brother who is principal of Hampstead Hill Academy.
So I hear.
Yes, I heard too. but his name is Hornbeck, and your name is Gaither.
True.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Senator, I do not recall the response.
I want to know. What's going on in the Hornbeck household? No, come on, tell me how that happened.
So I met a wonderful woman 14 plus years ago. named Palin Gaither, and fell completely and dramatically in love. Oh. And about a little bit later, proposed to her the day after Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day was much too
commercial.
Know, cliche.
Of course. Of course.
And it was very important to her to keep her last name. And it was very important to me that our family be a unit, you know, the Gaithers or the Hornbecks, but not one Hornbeck and three Gaithers right. or three Hornbecks.
That does get confusing, especially in schools.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm
exactly.
so-and-so, but I'm so-and-so's mother.
Right, right. And so I just decided that I would take her name. And yeah. so went through the process, and the process is very involved. When a man wants to change his name upon getting married, there are waiting periods and court dates and
really?
Everything that you have to go do. I guess they figure he's running from the law or something.
Or they think it's just goofy. Because I got to be honest. I have to be honest. Now that I know you as well as I do, I am, you know, believe in boy jobs and girl jobs and my house and stuff. And I hear this before I start Wolf Street, and they're like, oh, Mr. Cather, he took his wife's name. So I'm like, why did he do that? Oh, my God, he must be a goof. And then
well,
I met
that
you.
That might be true.
No,
but.
That is so not true. But in my chauvinistic mind, you know, I couldn't imagine why a man would do that. But yeah. when I met you and when I heard the reason why you did it, it makes me think you're even greater.
The funny thing was we were at a family dinner down in Texas, and my grandmother was alive at the time. Johnny May Hornbeck, and she was sitting at the end of this very long table with her two sons, my father and my uncle, sitting next to her. And I was at the other end of the table, and my cousin said across the table to Palin, so Palin, are you taking Mark's name? I don't know how it possibly could be, but instantly
she
the whole
it.
Table went quiet. There was, you know, you could hear a pin drop. There were maybe three heartbeats. And then
yours was going, duh.
And I said, well, actually, I'm going to be taking Palin's name. There were about three more heartbeats. And then everybody started talking again like it was nothing.
Oh.
My father comes up to me afterwards and he says, I hadn't even told him at this point. And he said, I think it's great. You know, tell me why.
They're very progressive, the Hornbecks.
And then he says, but I do have to tell you, Granny, Johnny May, Granny leaned over to me right as everybody started talking again and said, and the only thing she said was, is that legal?
I love Johnny May.
She was definitely the sort of great. Texas pistol.
Yeah, and it sounds like a Southern belle. Yeah, she did take her husband's name,
right,
I imagine.
Right,
that's
right.
great. All right, so personally, I think you're going to share this with me, but I believe school is only as good as its teachers and the administrators. And I think you are as good as it gets, and I'm grateful for that. But you're going to stick around at Wolf Street.
Yep.
We're going to get our charter renewal.
Yep.
And I just, you know, my producer's a little against this question, but I do want to know. So at Thanksgiving, you know, we have a rivalry with Hampstead Hill, and we like to beat Hampstead Hill at everything.
Absolutely.
Recycling, soccer games, and all that stuff.
Fire drills,
everything. Attendance. It's a much bigger school, obviously, and that's, do they call it Canton?
Yes,
so he's in Canton.
Linwood and Eastern.
And that school is much bigger than ours.
Yep.
Also a public charter school?
Also a conversion public charter school run by the Baltimore Curriculum Project. I believe you had Laura Doherty on.
My producer, Dave Custy, did.
There you
yes.
go. Yes, it's a charter also. Been a charter for a couple
school?
More years. It is a, it's interesting that you asked that,
Ms.
Stephanie.
Tell us.
The community school is, like I said, really a strategy. They're not funded through the same ways that we're funded, but they are able to have a person who's dedicated to this issue. And so, yes, they are a community school, even though they find their funding streams in different ways and don't have the official title of community school.
Because but they still have the need for
They have the need, and they're trying to address those needs through a variety of resources instead of just thinking about it in terms of this is academic school and this isn't, therefore we don't deal with that.
Right.
They deal with the whole package.
All right, so really in the Hornbeck dining room, your parents' dining room, is there a chalkboard that says Hampstead Hill?
Little tally,
right.
tally marks.
And we're ahead, I hope. Right. But do you have a...
And I have the chalk.
Yeah, very good. That's why I like you. But I presume it's a gentle rivalry.
It is a gentle rivalry. And you know, coming into Baltimore a few years after my brother had his principalship over at Hampstead, he's been a resource for me from day one. You know, I will call him up and say, oh my gosh, what do you do about this? And ask him questions and give him ideas. And but there is a gentle rivalry. And the local fire department does do both of our fire drills, our official fire drills, where they come and time you and everything. And they generally come to me first, and we do ours. And then I tell them to go over to Hampstead.
And that's the really time to beat.
To him. Yeah. And he keeps reminding me that he's got a lot more kids to get out of the building.
Right.
But I keep reminding him that he's got a bigger building with more exits and more adults.
Ah, so very good. Very
I think
good.
We're exponential growth here or something.
I think that the Hornbecks sound like my family growing up. You know, we were all educated and we were all lucky enough to be able to do what it was that we wanted to do in life. But I think it's lovely that your parents come around a lot for every, you know, wolf festing, yeah. Everything we have at school, Mr. or Mrs. or both Hornbeck. Are there? Are you their favorite? Is that why they come to our school, or do they go to Hampstead?
When they do go to Hampstead sometimes, but I always used to say, as the little brother, and he, you know, he would be sort of sticking it to me sometimes, and didn't make me cry too often, but you know, big brother type stuff. And I would look back at him and I'd say, well, you know, what it really is, Matt, is that practice makes perfect. And he was practice.
And you perfect, were perfect. So.
No, they have,
no, I'm sure they enjoy you.
They
equally.
Have both. Both my parents have been incredibly supportive of my brother and I. And I sometimes will refer to them and lessons that they taught me in the principalship. For example, at Wolf Street, we don't have a long list of rules. We have an idea. And the idea is that everybody is respectful and responsible at all times. I really take that from my parents, that they gave my brother and I the tools with which to make good decisions instead of a long list of do's and don'ts.
Right.
And I try to bring that into Wolf Street, as I know Matt does over at Hampstead.
I can speak for that. I mean, I think our basic motto at school, or our basic tenet at school, is, you know, kindness to your neighbors. And there's a family across the street that goes to our school that I see the mom checking on one of our elderly neighbors every single week, knocking on the door, do you need anything, Miss Maria? And I like that. And I think you foster that inside.
That's the tight-knit sense of living, you know, in the city,
right.
that you've got people there, and sometimes that's really great, and sometimes cities can be a little tight, but when you get to know people and understand where they're coming from and what they have to offer, that's what builds the trust in a community, whether it be a school or a neighborhood or a church or whatever it may be.
I agree. All right. Well, is there anything we haven't covered that we should bring up about our beautiful little Wolf Street Academy? Beautiful is not so much. If you want to make donations, we need windows really badly. But our lovely little school, is there anything?
It is. Just to remind people that with whether it's Wolf or other Baltimore City Public Schools, that a big part of it is going in the front doors and seeing what the school is about and learning about the people that are behind the front doors, because the front doors can be menacing sometimes, and you hear in the press and on the news that this is happening or that's happening in the Baltimore City Public Schools. But there are a lot of great things happening also, and just opening up those front doors and becoming a part of them.
Excellent. All right, Mr. Gaither, I want to thank you for being with me today. Mark Gaither, principal of Wolf Street Academy. This is Stephanie Given, Urban Mom. Thanks for listening to Baltimore Internet Radio.